This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. We round the corner with one of our favorite guests, and I've identified him as the most prolific writer in America, and I stand by that, Brad Meltzer. He's been with us many times, and he writes about all kinds of things and is an eclectic man who has varied interests, a political thriller writer, superhero fantasy writer, and also he's had many of these books about famous people designed for young adults, and the latest is featuring Anne Frank, one of the legendary figures in world history. And Brad Meltzer, it is always a pleasure to catch up with you. Good morning to you.
Good morning. How you been?
Doing well, and we are living, as they say, in interesting times, but for those who think that these are the most trying times in the history of our world, we can just reflect back not so long ago, 75 years ago, to Anne Frank, and she left a mark on our world that resonates to this day, and she was only 15 years old when she died. I think you probably had this one in the works for a while. Your thoughts about her contribution to the world as we know it?
No, and thank you, Jim. You know, we've spoken before. I started this book series for my own kids to give them heroes of compassion and kindness and character, that thing that's missing so often in America today. And we did I Am Amelia Earhart and I Am Abraham Lincoln. We are finally doing I Am Anne Frank. Why? Because look at the world we're living in right now. Anti-Semitism is at a 40-year high. Last week, a study was announced that millennials barely know the basic facts of the Holocaust. We have to teach our kids hope, and the best way to do that is Anne Frank. As you said, the little girl who hid from the Nazis in her attic for 2 years. And I want my kids to know that even in the darkest places, you can find light. That's what hope is. It's a light that burns within you, and when you light it, nothing puts it out. And that's where the book comes from, is to give kids out there today that message of hope.
Well, Anne Frank wrote one of the most poignant and read books of all time, her diary, in those 2 years. What were those years like for her in the attic?
You know, we all, of course, when it's a Holocaust story, it's horrible. But it's also amazingly inspiring. She spends time like, listen, they can't go outside. They can't wear their shoes. They can't do anything during the day because there are people working below them. And her only view, this is actually worth mentioning, her only view is this window in her attic that looks out over a chestnut tree. And she watches that chestnut tree like it's the best television show of all time. In the winter, the leaves fall off. She watches the leaves grow back when spring comes. And in 2010, that actual tree that she would stare at finally fell down behind her house. But here's the amazing part, is that when the saplings were grabbed, they grabbed all the little seeds and they started planting them around the world. And today, Jim, there are trees all over the globe, Anne Frank trees growing stronger than ever. And I put that story in the book because that's the message to teach hope to your kids. When you do that, when you share these stories with your kids, Anne Frank grows back as strong as ever.
Well, she ended up in a concentration camp and died there, and as did other members of her family. There was one survivor, though, and that survivor found her diary. Tell us about that process of being trapped in Amsterdam or close to it, and ultimately ending up in a concentration camp and dying.
Yeah, you know, the only way that she survived, you know, we always tell the story, but what we leave out is she didn't do it alone. She couldn't survive alone. There were helpers. There were plenty of helpers, non-Jewish helpers who risked their lives to protect her. And the Nazis had threatened to punish anyone who helped the Jewish people. But there were amazing people like Miep Geis, who would bring her presents, red shoes, because she knew she liked to dance and run around, and her husband, and people would bring food for her and her favorite books. That's how the Frank family survived. And when the family goes to the concentration camp, as you said, her and her sister and her mother all die in Bergen-Belsen. Her father's the only survivor, and he comes home. And when the Nazis ransacked the attic, the one thing they missed was this red check diary. And it's Miep Geis, the woman who was feeding them and bringing the red shoes and things for Anne all those years. She grabbed the diary when the Nazis left, and she held it, and she hid it for those years. And when Anne Frank's father came back, she said, "This is Anne Frank's legacy for you. Here's her diary." And he was the one who eventually, of course, published it, making it one of the most powerful and best-selling books in the whole world, teaching firsthand history of what happened in the Holocaust and those horrors. And I love the fact that in the book we get to single out Meet Guy and those helpers. In fact, one of the things we say at the end of the book, if you have any lesson from Anne Frank's story, is, and this is how we wrote her in her words, is, you know, and this is true, in the Jewish faith is the same, if a person saves one life, it's as if they've saved an entire world. So throughout your life, you're going to find people who need help. Be a helper. Be the one who does the right thing. When you see something unfair, don't be silent. Those are the last lines of I Am Anne Frank, is to let her know that her story continues to go forward even today.
Do you recall when you first read her diary?
You know, it's funny you ask that. I am Jewish, and I will tell you, I can't remember the first time I heard about Anne Frank. I'm someone who loves history. I can tell you the first time I heard the story of JFK being shot. I mean, all these stories, I know all the moments where I was, what grade I was. But being Jewish, it's just kind of one of those things that's forever there. The Holocaust is a story you tell your kids, and they know about it as really young. And it's why we did the book, because clearly it's not being taught that way anymore. When you have millennials who don't say that 6 million Jews died in the Holocaust because they don't know that number, we're doing something wrong. And we decided, we had no idea that study was going to come out last week. But, sometimes the universe works in mysterious ways that, you know, we planned this book 2 years ago, and here we are today, and it feels like this.
What about the Anne Frank House? I suspect you have been to the Netherlands, where she died, where she didn't die, but where she grew up, and, of course, where she hid for a few years. And the people in Amsterdam have done a wonderful job preserving her legacy. Okay, let's see if we can get Brad back. I think we have dropped him for a moment, and if we can, certainly that would be a pleasure. You mentioned, Brad did, that he was told about the Kennedy assassination. For those of us who were old enough to be alive then, I was 5. It seems odd to have a man who is such a noted historian who was not, but Brad was born in 1970, so he is 50 years old. I mentioned that he is an eclectic fellow, and I was talking about the Anne Frank House when we lost you. That is a poignant place in world history now, and I mentioned how the Netherlands, the country, Holland, has done a wonderful job preserving her legacy, Brad.
Yeah, they obviously leave that house. You can see exactly what it was like, and it is a living museum right now, and it is a message, again, we need to teach. It is more important than ever. I apologize for where we got cut off.
That's
but
okay.
You know, one of the things we end the book with is that message that when you see something that's unfair, you got to say something. Don't just stand by. You must be a helper. That's how I Am Anne Frank as a book ends, is to make her message live on today.
A listener in Monroe, Hal, remarks you have written about presidential intrigue for a few of your books, more than a few. And now we have the President of the United States saying he may not leave quietly if he loses the election. What's your take on this?
My take on it is, it's really dangerous when you do that. And it's dangerous for both sides. Whatever side you're on in this, it's just not good to shake people's faith in this democratic system. And it's unprecedented. It just really is. That is the move of a dictator. I hate to say it, but it's just true. You don't say whatever happens, we'll see. That is not the answer that any president has ever, ever given. We'll see. And it shakes the faith of the Republican Party, and it shakes the faith of the Democratic Party. And it's not good for America. The one thing that we have to do is, listen, you may not like the outcome. There are plenty of people who hated the fact that they felt like they got that the votes weren't counted in Florida when Bush versus Gore happened. But you better believe that Al Gore, and who was following Bill Clinton, didn't say, "I'm staying. You got to count all the votes." He said, "That's the way it goes. And when the answer comes down, you abide by the rules that were set up by the founders." You know, the one thing I love about, and why we wrote about Ben Franklin, is to remind people that the lessons of the founding fathers are just as vital today. And the lesson of the founding fathers is, we're supposed to fight. we're not supposed to be able to make change to the system. They made it very hard to make changes to the system. But in the fighting, we will get to a better place together. And neither side can make these big moves because we didn't want a king. And I firmly believe that they were profoundly right when they set that up.
Well, congratulations on another remarkable work from this exceptional man and writer, Brad Meltzer. This one is I Am Anne Frank. Brad, thank you, and let's keep talking. It is always a distinct pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you, my friend.
See you soon. Take care. 21 days away from the election, and we will be following it right here. And reminder that after the show today, we will go to the Senate Judiciary Committee for the hearing on Amy Coney Barrett, the pride of New Orleans. Lauren Hickman reports that on this date in 1925, 95 years ago, Margaret Thatcher was born, one of the great leaders in world history, the Iron Lady, the former British Prime Minister, the first female British Prime Minister. And we remember Joe Morgan, second baseman for the Cincinnati Reds. Some of us remember when he played with the Astros, with Jimmy Wynn, who also died earlier this year. Joe Morgan was 77 when he died yesterday, the sixth Baseball Hall of Famer to die this year. And he's followed Bob Gibson and Tom Seaver in recent days, Whitey Ford earlier this year, Lou Brock and Al Kaline. Signature support from First Financial and from Vantage Health Plan.